Chapter 4. The screams of 5 pterodactyls rang out over the river as they swooped down to scan their new surroundings, and they were just as horrifying as I remembered. Their bat-shaped wings must have spanned about 30 feet long, with claw-like hands at the ends, and talons that looked ready to grab something human-sized dangled under their dull green bodies. Their massive beaks swung from side to side as they dove lower to investigate the full length of the bridge, and their grating calls echoed back and forth like they were reporting their findings. "Fuck," I muttered as I checked that my rifle was fully loaded. I was still crouched behind Haywan's bike with the Korean ducked down on my right, but by now Becca had crawled under the jeep with Cat. Larry was pressed up against the back of his van, and he glared up at the dinos with his pistol held up high. Gray and Tim were nowhere in sight, and the locals in the bridge stayed silent while I wondered if the flying dinos would be able to smell them through all the steel sheets. "Maybe they'll find some fish and get distracted," I muttered. "Damming like this usually catches a lot of fare. It's got to be a banquet down there." Haywan looked doubtfully up at the sky, and I knew what she was thinking. It would only be a banquet to someone who had an appetite for fish. Becca was hissing something at me now, but when I squinted to try and make out what words she was mouthing, I couldn't be sure.
"I think she's asking what to do,"
Haywan whispered.
"Do you really think they'll pass by?"
"I doubt it," I sighed, as I watched one of the pterodactyls swoop down close to the fort with a ravenous scream. We pressed our backs up against the bikes and made ourselves as small as possible. Haywan's short frame was easily hidden, but my limbs were a lot longer, and I felt like some kind of contortionist trying to disappear. One of the creatures dove down low into the empty space under the bridge, and I saw the flash of its orange eyes as it scoped out the riverbed. Then it flew back up to its flock and made a loud clicking noise before it screeched. The others in the group immediately swooped down to the temporary part of the river, too, and they flew under the bridge one after another. There was no denying they were communicating, and I wondered if they were discussing the lack of water in whatever creepy dino language they used. Either way, I knew it wouldn't be long until they caught our scent or spotted our hiding attempts. They already seemed to have noticed the fortress on the bridge, and as they swooped up from beneath the bridge, they circled back to hover above the man-made structure. Luckily, the rise of the main cables and their wingspans prevented them from being able to reach it easily, but they seemed to be testing their options as they swooped in ominously low circles. There was one pterodactyl that was much larger than the others, and I noticed it always flew at the front of the flock. As the group soared closer and closer, I could feel the gusts of wind kicking up from their wings, and they were getting too close for us to go unnoticed for much longer. The leader of the flock hovered only 20 feet above the roof of the fort, and I knew the people inside must be able to hear the leather beat of the beast's wings. Then I peeked over the motorcycle, and I saw Larry raise his gun and shoot at the lead dino. All hell broke loose as the bullet hit the pterodactyl's wing. The bullet only grazed the tissue, but it was enough for it to let out an earth-shattering shriek and alert the rest of the herd. Their long necks snapped to face Larry, and he started to shoot randomly as the flock sped toward him. Then one of the flying dinos dove, and Larry screamed as he pulled the trigger one last time. The final bullet was enough to make the dino swerve back up toward the sky, but its long talons caught on Larry's arm as it went. The man screamed as blood wept from the slash, and he bolted for the fortress while he fumbled to keep a hold on both his gun and his slashed arm.
"Let me in!"
Larry yelled, and the metal sheet at the entranceway was hurriedly scraped a few inches open. The bleeding man shoved his huge body inside as fast as he could, and he slammed the makeshift entryway back in place before I could blink. "Thanks for the help," I snorted as I eyed the 5 pterodactyls above us. I knew the man had only been trying to protect his people, but his timing and execution was so shit poor, we were all worse off for the effort. The flock didn't seem to like the fact that their prey had vanished directly into the structure they'd been after, and they circled back to close in on the fort once more.
"We need to do something," I whispered to Haywan. "Let's get to the others."
"We need to be fast,"
Haywan said. The flock was focused on the ceiling of the fortress, and one by one, they tried to dive at it through the cables of the suspension bridge. The wingspan of the dinos was too huge to fit through the gaps, and each of the creatures screamed as their attacks were blocked. The largest of the flock repeatedly rammed into one of the cables on the left side, and I watched in horror as the dino used its sharp talons to saw into it. The others in the flock followed suit, and they dove into the same section of the bridge while their huge bodies made the cable shudder with every blow. A few of the pterodactyls tried again to reach the fort below, and their wings bled as they cut themselves on the sharp impact of the metal cables. I could see their anger grow with each dive. And with one last scream, the largest of the flock knocked into the weakened cable, and the top of it disconnected from the bridge. There was a loud, shuddering clang as the metal dropped and bashed against the side of the bridge, and the fort shook with the impact. The dinos cried out as their pathway to the steel roof widened, and although they still couldn't quite fit, the fallen cable seemed to have given them encouragement. They started to dive at the other metal rods, and it wouldn't be long before they had a clear shot at the fort. The sound of talons on steel rang out across the open road, and I knew this would be the only chance we might have to make a run for the jeep.
"Ready?"
I hissed.
"Go,"
Haywan replied, and we sprinted over to the jeep while we crouched as low as possible. Then we dove behind the vehicle and waited a beat to make sure we hadn't been spotted. There was no flurry of leathery wings above us, and it looked like we had made it safely. We laid down on the ground to check on the other two girls, and Becca and Kat shuffled around to face us. They were lying on their bellies and stared out at me with wide eyes, but I could tell they were as determined as I was to end this shit fast.
"We need to help," I said. "We can't let all those people die."
"And if they destroy the bridge, we'll never get across,"
Haywan whispered.
"Exactly," I nodded. "We need these flying bastards dead as soon as possible."
"But we've met these dinos before,"
Becca hissed.
"Their hide is too thick for our rifles."
"Maybe you guys need some new weapons,"
Kat grinned as she crawled out from the vehicle and jumped up behind it.
"Follow me."
Becca rolled out to the side and scurried behind the car, and Haywan and I got to our feet for a better look. The corporal threw open the storage box attached to the back of the jeep, and she wasn't kidding when she said she had supplies. The box was crammed full of firearms, ammo, and other equipment I didn't even recognize. And, of course, it was all packed with militaristic precision. Every item was carefully placed and stacked, so no room was wasted.
"Holy shit," I managed to say.
"Is that another grenade launcher?"
Haywan asked.
"Sure is,"
Kat nodded as she picked up a black device.
"This is the L-123A2, 40mm. Jason's already sorted there, but you girls can each get one."
I stared at the beautiful soldier while these words left her mouth so casually, and she grinned back.
"It's a UGL, so you just attach it under your rifle the same way,"
Kat explained.
"It clips on like so, and gives you two weapons in one. It's like an add-on. Here."
The curly-haired soldier handed Haywan the grenade launcher attachment, and the Korean's jaw dropped as she greedily clutched the device. Kat handed Becca another of the launchers, and the blonde grinned.
"That means we all have grenades ready to fuck up some dinos,"
Kat said.
"And don't worry, everything is already loaded up and ready to play with."
"Play with?" I half groaned, and my knees actually went a little weak. "Kat, I am so happy you came here to join us."
"I also have a machine gun, night vision equipment, and a fuck ton of grenades,"
Kat assured me while the girls clicked their new additions onto their trusty rifles.
"So, what is the plan exactly?"
Haywan asked, as another shriek rang through the air. "We'll draw them away and damage their wings first thing," I decided.
"Oh, fuck. I know where you're going with this,"
Becca groaned.
"We're letting those giant bastards chase us down, aren't we? How can we shoot our rifles one-handed?"
Haywan asked.
"I haven't tried before, but it doesn't seem easy."
"It isn't, and we're not," I told her. But then I heard a couple of wings tangle with the cables of the bridge, and I started to speak faster. "Use the Glocks first. Everyone make sure you're fully loaded with ammo." Becca, Haywan, and I pulled our Glocks from our hips and checked the magazines, and Kat nodded in approval as I confirmed I was locked and loaded with 17 rounds.
"So, we slow them down first by damaging the wings,"
the corporal concluded. "Yeah, and then we finish them off with a grenade each," I added.
"Now we have the launchers, too,"
Haywan said excitedly while she clutched her pistol and watched the pterodactyls tear at the cables with their beaks.
We need to move fast,
Cat added.
So I suggest we use these.
The corporal handed me a steel-colored radio, and it was slightly bulky but had a strong clip to attach it onto my belt. She quickly handed one to each of the girls as well, and I noticed she already had one strapped to her hip.
Couldn't be easier to use,
Cat said hurriedly.
Press the big button on the right and hold it down to talk. Always say over so we know you're done and not just dead. You have to let go of the button to hear responses. Got it?
We all nodded, and as Cat shut the box again, we peered around the jeep at the flying dinos. The leader of the herd had started to use its giant talons on another of the remaining cables, and the others followed suit one at a time. The scraping noise of their claws on metal was ear-piercing, and Haywan shivered beside me at the sound.
More dinos taking it in turns to attack,
Becca noted.
Organizing themselves, just like the videos. The smart little bastards.
Yeah, well, we're organized too, I muttered, as I shifted the strap of my rifle on my back. We should get on our bikes as quickly as possible.
And break up the flock as quickly as possible,
Cat added.
We should all take different directions. There's five of them and four of us, so someone is going to end up with two.
As long as they're away from the bridge, I nodded. And remember that being hit by their wings can cause as much damage as any claws. They're powerful, but if we injure their wings enough, they'll end up grounded.
Make sure to only use that launcher at a good distance,
Cat warned.
The blast radius is 6 meters, but honestly, you want to be at least 10 away. Don't go blowing yourselves up. Like Jason said, slow them down with the Glocks first. If you can kill them with just bullets, then do so.
Understood, I replied, and the girls nodded in agreement.
My bike's furthest away,
Becca said.
I'll go first. You guys keep an eye out for me.
I'll wait to start the jeep until you all start your bikes,
Cat said, and she jumped into her car with one swift movement. Haywan's bike was right next to the jeep, and she made sure her newly upgraded rifle was securely strapped over her shoulder and her Glock at her side before she jumped onto the seat. My bike was a little closer than Becca's and masked from the view of the dinos by Larry's van. Okay, Becca, I said as the two of us got ready to run. Let's go. I'm right behind you. The blonde sprinted out without another word and raced toward her vehicle with her long legs covering the distance quickly. I reached my bike first, and I kept my eyes on the flock ahead of us while I climbed on. The pterodactyls had started to take it in turns to jump on the remaining cables as they circled, and I swear the sound they made almost sounded like laughter. A second cable had started to dent badly, and it looked like it wouldn't be long until it also fell down and weakened the structure even more. The cables were thick, too, and I worried too many of them falling across the road might make it impossible for us to pass. The fort itself definitely wouldn't last long once the dinos had enough room to maneuver their huge wings toward it. I shook the thought out of my head and kept my weapon aimed at the pterodactyls while Becca got onto her bike. The blonde quickly mounted her vehicle, and she looked over at me with a nod. We all started our engines at the same time, and the pterodactyls immediately noticed. The huge leader let out a scream, and it wasted no time in soaring toward us with the others close behind. Becca sped off to the right, and so I swerved my bike around and headed back in the direction of the town. I looked across the road and saw Haywan tear over the other side of the road, and Cat's jeep had taken a diagonal left, so we were all sprawling out as fast as possible. It only took a few moments for us all to be far enough apart to split up the flock. I heard the flap of enormous leathery wings behind me, and I checked my side mirror to see the leader of the pack gaining on me quickly. Its orange eyes were locked on my bike, and I could see it had a scar on the underside of the left wing. Cat's jeep had attracted two of the dinos to my left, and she tore across the open field as they followed in close pursuit. It looked like my other two girls were holding out with the last two pterodactyls shrieking after them. But I tried to focus on my own mission rather than the sight of enormous dino birds closing in on the women I loved. All of us had our own jobs to do this time, and we sure as hell had the weapons to manage it. I was nearing the edge of the field and coming up on the start of the housing estates. And as the sound of the giant wings drew closer, I pointed my Glock behind me and prayed I made some shots. Then I fired 3 rounds off, and I must have managed to hit something back there twice, because the creature screamed. I glanced in my side mirror to see its left wing bleeding from two tears in the middle, and I grinned as I sped into the town outskirts. The dinosaur had already slowed down from the injury. The first house that led into the town had its door shut, and I wasn't going to risk using precious time just to find out it was locked. I remembered seeing plenty of open doors from the drive over, and I sped past the town welcome signs to find one. I heard the scream of the other dinos in the distance, and five shots rang out from the girls in the distance. I didn't have time to check who had fired, but I silently cheered my girls on because I knew they were out there kicking dino ass right now. Then I fired three more rounds into my pursuer's left wing just before I saw an open garage door, which was attached to an upcoming house to the left. I steadied the heel of my palm on the handlebar while I tried not to drop my pistol, and then I swerved past an upturned car, and I looked over my shoulder just in time to see the flying dino take a dive straight toward my bike. I steadied my course and crossed my arm over and fired two more rounds into the bird's already damaged wing. The dino screeched while the low rumble of its voice echoed off the red brick walls around me, and I holstered my Glock with a chuckle. Then I reached the driveway to the open garage and sped inside as the dino tried to recover from the shot. As soon as my bike skidded to a stop inside the building, I leapt off the saddle and jumped up for the handle of the garage door. The pterodactyl screeched as it finally caught up and dove toward me, and I pulled the hatch door down with all the strength I could muster just as the dino reached the driveway. The creature slammed into the closed door and screamed as I took a moment to steady myself. Sweat dripped down my forehead as the flock leader shrieked with rage, and it continued ramming itself against the garage door while the metal warped in front of me. I checked my surroundings, but there wasn't very much in the garage other than an old hose and some children's toys. If I could get a good angle from one of the windows of the adjoined house, I could take the dino down easily and still stay out of range of the blast. The metal of the garage door was already dented from the impact of the dino, and I knew that the beast would have no problem breaking in if it kept slamming its giant body against it. With each scream from the flock leader, there was a flap of huge wings and another dent as it rammed into the door. I needed to get into the house, and I hoped the smaller doors would prove more difficult for the massive beast to get through.
"That's the first bastard shot down. Over."
Cat's voice rang over the radio at my hip. I grabbed the device and held it up to my ear.
"I repeat, the first dino is down. Over."
"I've got the leader distracted," I reported. "He's after me right now, but I'm in one of the houses to get a good shot from a window. Over." There was no reply, and I knew the girls were perfectly capable of fighting alone, but I wanted to get back to them as quickly as possible. No matter how fast or smart you were, all it would take was one wrong step to end up as dino chow. I pulled my rifle around from my back as I left my bike near the far back corner of the garage, and I raced over to the beige door that would take me into the house. I grabbed the doorknob and carefully opened it, fully aware that I could have just walked into a whole other nesting spot. My rifle stayed aimed at the ready while I stepped into the hallway of the house, but the house was quiet aside from the screams of the creature outside. From the looks of things, it had remained untouched by dinos, and there was no sign of claw marks on the hardwood floor, or feces lying about. The hall was painted a warm red that had not a single drop of blood on it, and it was lined with wedding pictures of a young couple and a framed sonogram. It felt strangely invasive to be in someone else's home, where they had built their life. But hearing the giant pterodactyl scream as it bashed into various walls of the house snapped me back to attention. I needed to get to a window before it realized it might be able to fit its massive beak through one. I raced upstairs, and another smashing sound made me jump. There was a scurry above my head, and more smashing. It must have been tiles falling from the roof as the dino scraped its giant talons down, and I had a horrible image of the pterodactyl forcing its way down the chimney like some sort of bloodthirsty Santa. There was a master bedroom on the landing, and a smaller one beside it. They both had books and clothes strewn across the floor, and very large windows lined the walls. I was wary of using them as a shooting spot. The frames were wide, and if the pterodactyl folded its wings, it could smash its way through enough to clamp me in its beak. There was one last room at the end of the hall, and I hurried over to find it was a small bathroom with blue tiles and a line of rubber ducks along the shower floor. The window was tiny in comparison to the other rooms, and the patterned glass meant the dino couldn't see inside. I stepped onto the closed toilet lid and slowly edged the window open. I could hear the flock leader somewhere above me, but I couldn't get a visual. So I looked down at the shelf above the toilet, grabbed a bottle of shower gel, and hurled it out into the garden. The bottle hit the lawn with a dull thud about 7 meters away, and I cursed to myself. This was too close for comfort where my grenade launcher was concerned, but it still drew the attention of the dino on the roof. Looked like I'd have to deal with this asshole the old-fashioned way. I heard the heavy flap of its wings, and I ducked out of view as it swooped down toward the grass to investigate. As soon as it passed my window, I jumped up and took aim at the creature's right wing. It bent over and ducked its head out of sight to examine the bottle, and the second he was stationary, I pulled the trigger on my rifle. Then I pulled it 4 more times. The pterodactyl screamed as my bullets lodged into the vulnerable skin where its wing met with its back, and it flailed as blood started to pour onto the green lawn below. The dino fell forward with a grating screech, and its massive wingspan filled up the whole of the garden. I narrowed my eyes at the shredded flesh of its wing, and I could tell a few more bullets to that weak spot near the armpit, and the dino wouldn't be able to do shit about flying after me. And he'd probably bleed out before he could try. I steadied my rifle toward the shrieking pterodactyl and took 3 more shots. Blood erupted across the lawn, and the dino let out a shrill, ear-piercing squawk as a massive chunk in the crook of its wing blew wide open. Only 1 scrap still kept the wing attached, but blood was seeping from its body now, and its eyes rolled back in its head as it twitched and flopped around on its back for a moment longer. I watched as its breathing slowed, and eventually its chest stopped heaving, and the pterodactyl leader laid still while its blood flooded the garden beneath it. I grabbed my radio from my waist, as the stench of the bloody pool made me want to retch. "Flock leader down, over," I reported as I jumped down from the toilet, and I raced down the hall to the stairs before I took them 2 at a time, hurried back through the corridor, and skidded out into the garage. As I stepped out of the conjoining doorway, I saw the damage that the pterodactyl had caused to the garage door. It was torn in half now, and there were huge talon marks all over the bent metal. "Shit," I whispered as I stepped closer to the wreck. I knew it would have broken through the garage door, but after seeing this mess, I was relieved the dino changed his tactics to tracking me through the roof instead. I hadn't expected the damage out here to be so quick or clean, though. The gap in the door was almost symmetrical, which left the perfect width for a huge set of wings to fit through. At least it left me enough room to drive through so I didn't have to try and haul open the shattered entrance. I poked my head through the broken metal to check that the driveway was clear. The fight had been a noisy one, but it didn't seem to have attracted the attention of any other dinos yet. The street was still and deserted, and I could hear the cry of the rest of the flock in the distance. I jumped back onto my bike, and I checked to make sure I still had a good supply of cartridges left.
"We're near the river,"
Kat said through the radio as I started my engine.
3 still in the air, but 1 almost dead. Over."
We had 2 down. Now it was time to take out the rest of the flock. "On my way, over," I said, as I pressed down the radio button on my belt. I sped out onto the street and weaved past the cars blocking the road as I drove back out of the town. The open fields stretched out on either side of me as I drove past the signpost, which thanked me for visiting. The grass was torn up everywhere in my line of sight, and it was covered in tire tracks and strewn with muddy claw marks. I heard a gunshot ring out across the fields to my left, and I looked over to see a pterodactyl fall to the ground with an almighty thud that shook through the concrete under my bike. Blood oozed from its right wing, and Cat's jeep sped off and narrowly avoided the fallen dino. Then the injured beast lurched after her and into the air, and the corporal maneuvered the jeep with expertise, whipped around in a sharp turn, and forced the flying dino to have to change direction. The beast screamed in frustration as it repeatedly lost its prey. And there was another gunshot, and the pterodactyl's head flopped down with a deafening screech as its other wing was ripped by the bullet. The dino slowed down as it spluttered and haphazardly tried to fly. The slow movements gave Cat enough time to get out of range, and once she screeched to a halt, I saw the nose of her rifle swing out the window and take aim. Then a grenade soared through the air, and the felled pterodactyl's chest cavity combusted upon impact. The second the body exploded, Cat pulled the rifle inside, floored her jeep, and barreled over the road ahead of me, and she sent me a curt nod through the open window before she headed into the field on the other side.
One more down. I'm coming your way, Becca.
Cat's voice called over the radio.
You got this.
I could see Becca's golden hair in the distance over on the right side field, and the dino above her seemed to be struggling to fly. It was only flapping one wing fully, and it was a lot slower than the Brit's bike. I looked around for Haywan and saw her near the river, the smallest of the herd, but by the looks of things, the fastest, launched itself at the Korean girl's bike. Despite Haywan's ninja-like movements, it was getting too close for comfort as it dove down after her. I heard the jeep brakes slam on, and I looked in my side mirror to see Cat climb out of her vehicle and scramble onto the hood of the car in the middle of the field. I realized she was setting up to launch her next grenade at Becca's attacker.
Becca!
The corporal's voice said over the radio.
You need to put another bullet in its wings. It's slow already. You have to stop and shoot. It doesn't have to be precise. Just get the other wing. Over.
There was another gunshot and a screech as Becca put a bullet in her dino's wing. But from the sounds of it, her bird was close to coming down.
Becca! Get as far away from it as you can, now!
Cat shouted over the radio.
Over!
As I sped toward Haywan, I took another glance in my mirror to see that Cat had raised a grenade launcher twice the size of mine high in the air. There was a flurry of noise and smoke as she launched a grenade at the pterodactyl, and the creature exploded in a thunderstorm of guts and bone fragments. That woman could fucking shoot, and I couldn't help but cheer as she popped back down into the jeep seat. I had almost reached Haywan by now, but I saw a fast-flying dino trying to grab at her with its huge talons. The Korean sped around in circles and took shots at the beast above her. And although she had fantastic aim, the dino was moving too fast and sporadically to get a good shot. She only managed to scrape the tips of the pterodactyl's wings, but this didn't disrupt its ability to fly, and I could see it had started to get braver. It dove down at Haywan with violent fury while its talons swiped at the petite girl.
Hey, asshole!
I bellowed at the top of my lungs, and then I throttled up so my engine made more ruckus.
Over here!
The dino looked over and noticed me, Becca, and Cat, who were all approaching from different directions after defeating the rest of the flock.
Jason, you're the perfect distance to use your grenade launcher,
Cat announced over the radio.
If we can get the pterodactyl to fly toward Becca and me, Haywan can get out from underneath it, and you can take your shot. Over.
I slowed down and screeched to a halt as Becca and Cat started to scream as loud as they could. The dino looked around at all of us in turn, clearly struggling to decide which prey was more urgent. I kept quiet and swung my rifle around from my back to get the grenade launcher ready to go. I aimed my weapon at the dino while he was distracted, and I let my finger rest on the trigger. Haywan drove in speedy circles to avoid the dangling talons, but she kept her head down low, and the dino seemed to be veering toward the screaming girls over its current prey. Then Cat honked the horn of the jeep several times, while Becca screamed a few blistering curses as well. And this finally made them too tempting a target. The pterodactyl soared on bloody wings toward the soldier and the Brit, and Haywan sped in the opposite direction to get out of the blast range. I inhaled a deep breath as the flying beast coursed through the air with its new targets in sight, and when it was midway between Cat's jeep and my fleeing Korean lover, I pulled the trigger of my grenade launcher. The grenade flew through the air so quickly that I only saw the aftermath. The last pterodactyl exploded as the grenade struck its torso, and its remains rained down onto the field in a mess of smoke and blood. Shreds of body parts flew everywhere along with bones and wads of wing bits, and a long, curved talon landed beside me on the grass.
Ha ha! Hell yeah!
I laughed as the girls all sped toward the road to escape the hailstorm of death. But I admired the view for a minute longer before I drove forward to join them. We all met up just in front of the bridge, and I grinned at the girls around me while they let out loud whoops of victory. if we weren't covered in blood and guts. I would have grabbed my two lovers and dragged them in for a sloppy kiss. But it took me less than 2 seconds to realize I wanted to do the same with Cat, too. The corporal climbed out of the jeep and leaned against the hood with a lopsided grin, and her dirty blonde curls were tied up in a messy bun that showed off her killer jawline. I could have sworn I saw a shred of wing plastered to her kneecap, and even though it was a bit gruesome, it was more sexy than anything else. "Everyone okay?" I asked, but I couldn't seem to take my eyes off Cat.
"Hell yeah!"
Becca laughed.
"That was so satisfying, seeing that flying bastard blow up like that! Talk about dino confetti!" "How the hell did you manage that shot?"
Cat asked.
"That is fucking impossible!" "Not any harder than when he blew the T-Rex up,"
Becca smirked.
"He launched a grenade right into its mouth while it was running,"
Haywan added.
"Jason kicks ass with grenades." "But how?"
Cat stammered.
"I trained with guys for years who would never have made that shot. I'm talking blokes who lived and breathed guns."
"I guess those hunting trips with my dad really stuck," I shrugged. "He wouldn't let me go home unless I hit my target right between the eyes. By the time I hit puberty, I could almost shoot a moving deer with my eyes closed."
"Incredible,"
Cat said, and her hazel eyes sparkled as she stared at me.
"We took them down pretty fast, too,"
Haywan said, as she wiped dino blood from her thigh.
"A whole flock, down in under 10 minutes. You guys sure can shoot,"
Cat admired.
"I remember you were good, but I forgot just how fucking good."
"You were amazing," I informed the corporal. "Those flying assholes didn't stand a chance."
"And you took down 3 of them,"
Becca noted, as we looked across the field of the pterodactyl corpses.
"Now I can see how you managed this trip solo." "You guys are too sweet,"
Cat laughed as she waved the compliments away.
"You're really lucky to all be together, you know. I'm really glad I made the journey. Killing dinos is a lot more fun with you lot around."
"Yeah, I would say we make a pretty good team,"
Haywan smiled.
"The 4 of us, that is." "Damn right,"
Becca nodded.
"We'll just explode dinos all the way to Ravenscar. Make a party of it."
"I'd like that,"
Cat chuckled as she sent me a big grin. There was a scraping sound of metal on cement, and I dragged my eyes off the soldier to see the front panel of the bridge fort was pushed aside. This time it was opened wide enough to see inside, and 2 young men gave us a nod as they propped the steel panel to the side. It looked like there were about 30 people in the space, a mixture of young and old, and Larry was on the floor clutching his injured arm. Gray had a flannel shirt pressed against the wound, and she grimaced as she tried to stop the blood flow. "You all okay?" I called out, and we got off our bikes to go and talk to the locals. We stopped just before the stretch of nail-filled rubber across the road, and then we looked into the fort. Everyone inside seemed petrified, and there was a small stack of food containers up against one of the walls. It didn't look like they would be able to survive for very long if they didn't do a supply run and strengthen the structure. There was a large dent in the left side of the fort where a broken cable had fallen. Luckily, it didn't seem to have caused any harm to the occupants, but the bridge would certainly be weaker than before, and I wondered how many cables would need to fall before the bridge lost its structural integrity altogether.
"Thank you,"
Gray said to us as she stood up.
"Those things would have destroyed the fortress for sure. You were all amazing out there. We peeked a bit and saw what holy hell you put up with to draw them away."
"How deep is the wound?"
Cat asked, and Larry lifted the flannel to show off a nasty-looking gash.
"That thing boogered up my arm," the large man grunted. "Burns like hell. I think it's going sour in there."
I cringed at the oozing streak of torn flesh. "We have a bit of vodka left," I said. "I think it's in your pack, Becca."
"Yeah,"
the blonde nodded.
"We've got some bandages, too. Hang on, I'll go grab them."
She rushed back to her bike and rummaged around until she found the supplies. "You don't have much in here," I said to the group as I looked inside the fort. "You'll need to do a food run soon."
"Easier said than done," a lanky young man piped up. "Larry's pistol's the only weapon we have, and he's almost out of bullets. The town's full of lizards."
Cat turned without a word and strode over to her jeep, and Becca returned with the almost empty vodka bottle and a small stretch of bandages.
"This is all we've got left,"
the Brit admitted with an apologetic look.
Here, you can at least clean it up and stop the bleeding.
Gray looked apprehensive, but she glanced down at the large man in pain and hastily grabbed the offering.
Thanks,
the short-haired woman replied, and bent down to clean Larry's wound. Then Kat returned, and I did a double take when I saw she was holding a rifle and a box of ammo.
You can have this,
the soldier offered.
I've got enough, and you have people to protect.
Seriously?
Gray stared at the gun with wide eyes.
You're giving us a rifle?
If you want it,
Kat shrugged.
Use it to protect yourselves when you go for supplies. I've encountered more than my fair share of shitty people recently, and I think we need to keep each other safe when we can.
I watched the soldier hold out the weaponry, and I felt a rush of pride to have her beside me. She had been through hell to get to us, and had no one else to go to, but she still wanted to help out other people.
Oh, don't know what to say,
Gray mumbled as she took the rifle from Kat's hands.
You can say you'll let me and my friends here over the bridge,
Kat coolly replied, and I grinned.
I think that's the least we can do,
Gray replied.
Are you going through hole?
We're not exactly sure, I admitted. We'll need to check the fastest route when we get over the bridge.
You should try to stop there,
Gray said, as she examined her new weapon.
One of our guys said they started using the aquarium there as a medical station for injured folk. Maybe they could spare some new supplies for you. I wonder if they have a shower.
Kat sighed, and she looked down at her blood-stained clothing. You did get a pretty bad splattering, I chuckled. It's in your hair, too. But you wear it well. Have you ever considered becoming a redhead?
Oh, sure.
Kat laughed.
I'll just pop over to the salon once we cross the bridge.
She gave me a playful nudge, and the back of my neck prickled with heat. Something about dino slang with the big guns had put me in the mood to appreciate my life a bit more. And after living through the pterodactyl flock, I was itching for some softer, sweeter, and more pleasurable company.
Are you really going to stay here?
Becca asked as she glanced at the damaged bridge.
How is this any safer than the houses?
We're together,
Gray shrugged.
And the suspension system helped us out as well as we could have hoped for. I don't know how long this place will last, but until we have a better idea, it's all we got.
You'll need to be careful, I said. All the noise from the fight might have attracted attention.
We haven't had many lizards over this way recently, Larry said as he pulled his bandage tight. After we plugged up the water, they tend to go right by us. Last run I made into town for food, I saw some eggs, though. I didn't like that one bit.
Yeah, I sighed. Seems like they've started to breed. They're really protective of their eggs, too. But it worked to our advantage before we got here.
They chose staying with their young over chasing us,
Heywan nodded.
Although, it won't be a good thing when the babies hatch. It's really getting bad, isn't it?
Gray asked, and she looked over my shoulder toward the town.
They're not going anywhere. It doesn't seem like it,
Kat replied.
But you've got to keep your head high. Show the scaly bastards whose planet this is. I suppose so,
Gray sighed.
We'll get moving some of the cars so you guys can pass. Hey, Tim, Larry, can you guys help with that?
Thank you, I smiled, as the two men hurried off to the right side of the fort, and they each climbed into one of the barricade vans. I got onto my bike, and the girls returned to their vehicles as the local men started to maneuver the wall of vans out of our path. Once the first two vans had been parked to the side, both men got into the cars at the second layer of the barricade, and they quickly reversed back onto the right side of the bridge. Once they had created enough room for us all to fit through, Tim gave us an encouraging wave. Good luck, I called as we all started our engines. Kat took off first in her jeep, closely followed by Becca. To hull, then, I grinned at Heywan, and the Korean gave me a coy smile.
I hope there is a shower,
she said.
Then maybe you can help Kat get all that blood off her. I think she would really enjoy that.
I opened my mouth to reply, but the Korean beauty sped off before I could. So I revved my engine, throttled up, and took off after the trio of girls. But from that second onward, Kat's athletic body was blazing at the forefront of my mind.